We're going to go to 1 Samuel today. First Samuel chapter 1. I want to look at the topic of prayer and a pattern of life. And we'll start in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says in verse 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramath Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, of Zuph, and an Ephathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, who would be the other wife, also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Right? Interesting definition of prayer from her point of view. Eh? Poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. So the child's name literally means asked of God or asked of the Lord. See, this is a very, very, I love this record because it's a very simple definition of what prayer is, right? What did she do? She poured out her soul to God and said, God, I need help. I need some help here in this area. And she spoke to her and God granted her the request. Like, there's nothing more complicated about prayer, is there? Right? You know, you speak to God, and God hears the prayers, and God grants the request. And he doesn't grant every request you ask him, right? No. But he won't grant it if you don't ask him, right? Now, this example here, if she had not asked for this child, Samuel would have been born, right? As far as we know, right? He granted a request. And was Samuel a great prophet? Yeah. Amazing, right? Wonderful man of God who walked. None of his words fell to the ground, it says in the Word. And all it was because this woman asked of God something. Right? She just asked him. And God said, okay, here you go. Right? What a wonderful example of prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Many times, I wonder when we may complain or someone may complain, well, this didn't happen or this didn't happen, you might want to ask the question, did you ever ask him? Did you ever go to God and ask for the request of your heart, of your soul? Was there some specific thing you needed and you never asked him? Matthew, so, prayer is nothing more than I always look at it personally as a continuing conversation with God, just a conversation. And I titled this teaching A Pattern of Life because I work for the simulation industry in the military, and there's simulations where, you try to model patterns of behavior, patterns of life, where, you have a bunch of military guys going down the center of, a city in the Middle East. Well, a lot of simulations, they'll just have the city wide open. You can just drive your tank right down the middle and do whatever you want. Well, that's not life, right? So they introduce what they call patterns of life, where you have people milling about the fountain, or you'll have people going to the market, and all of a sudden, it becomes a lot harder to take that tank down in the middle of the street. And that's more reality, right? But that whole pattern of life, things that people do regularly, or things that just happen, that to me is prayer. It's not something different or outside of the ordinary. It's just our way of living. It's what we do regularly. It's just a part of us, right? It's not something that is detached from us. It's just something that we do, right? We pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men, where verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And they get heard of men, and that's their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They're seen of men, right? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Right? Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of, before you ask him. Right? That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Right? Your Father knows what you need, right? Before you ask him. Hannah, he knew Hannah wanted a child, right? But she didn't get it until she asked him. Right? Neither does Jesus Christ here say, just because God knows what you need up before you ask him, that you don't have to ask him. Right? Does he say that? All he says is, your Father knows what you have need of. Right? And then he tells them how you pray. So what is he teaching them here? Let's read this for a second. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, remember, we got to remember this was said right after he said not to use vain repetitions, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right. This prayer, I know, very, very familiar to most people. But, given in a time when Jesus Christ said, don't use vain repetitions. So what was he teaching? He certainly wasn't saying, take this prayer and repeat it every day, every church service around the world until I come back. He didn't say that, right? But what was he teaching? Well, it's a great prayer, and full of great learning for us. And I'm just going to share a couple things that I see that bless me about it. But after this manner, he says, pray. Verse 9, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing he says, hallowed be thy name. He said, when you pray, you have reverence for God. That's what he's teaching. When you go to God, it's not just some kind of, oh, master of the universe, oh, all benevolent, holy, some kind of just words. He said, your name is hallowed. God, you are wonderful. It says in Proverbs, the reverence of God is the beginning of knowledge, right? The first thing. So the first thing he says in prayer is, you reverence God. You reverence him, right? It's not a checklist of things I need. Remember, Hannah said she poured out her soul. It wasn't just like, why haven't I got a child? No, she poured out her soul that, Father, God, I really want a child. And she talked to him. And there's great reverence. I mean, if you read about their lives, they were great people. Hannah, they weren't just, people, oh, you know, by the way, is there a God? Oh, yeah, there's a God. I'll go and talk to him. No, they reverence God, right? So he says, he starts off by saying, so you reverence him. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. A great part of prayer is seeking God's will. Right? I may think I know what I need or want, but a good part of prayer is, he says, look, I want, you know, just like your will is in heaven, I want it done on earth. Well, a part of prayer, our prayer life, is seeking God's will. Right? Well, Father, I might need this, but is this best for me? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how you pray or how you don't pray or what, but it's seeking his will, because granted, he knows what you have need of before you ask him. That means that sometimes he knows what you need, but you don't even ask him for those things, right? Because you don't know what you need. He knows. He always knows the right thing you need. Doesn't mean the thing you're going to ask him is what he knows you need, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? He always knows. So the best thing to do in prayer would be to maybe seek his guidance. Right? Thy king, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of people say that, but they don't want God's will on earth. Right? They're happy to have him up there and do, you know, but not to see his will done on earth. But, you know, our prayer life ought to be, Father, what do I need? I think, you know, you know what? We're not even going to look at the verses where it talks about you can ask whatever you want, right? It's clear. I mean, read God's word. You can ask God for whatever you want, right? True? Yeah, you can talk to him. You can say whatever you want, right? Are you going to get it? Not necessarily. You can certainly ask him, right? You know, there you see a lot of records in the Bible where people ask for something. It wasn't guaranteed they were going to get that. Did they get it? Yeah, a lot of times. Right. So you can talk to him. It's just a pattern of life. You talk to God. You speak with him. But in speaking with him, we reverence him. We understand he's God Almighty, and we seek his will in our lives. You know, it's a great lesson he's giving them here. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what do you get from that? You know. Well, I got to thinking, what does that mean to me? It means that, you know, when I pray, I may ask him for something, but you know what? I ought to be always thankful in my life that I have food, clothing, and shelter, right? Like, you know, I could ask him, you know, Father, I need a new BMW, right? Whatever, you know. I have never prayed that. I tend to like Porsches. No, I don't. I've never prayed that. No. But, you know, whatever you want to ask him. But in the end, I ought to be the most thankful that I have food, clothing, and shelter. You know, Jesus Christ says, reverence God, seek his will in your lives, and just be thankful, right, that your daily needs are met, right? I mean, there's nothing beyond that you really need, is there? If you think about it, you know, good health. Can you ask him for good health? Yes. Is it guaranteed? Yes, it's guaranteed, and especially now by the work of Jesus Christ. So all those necessities of life, you know, you just be thankful for them because they're guaranteed, right? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, protection for us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He starts that prayer with great reverence for God. And how does he end it, right? Great reverence for God. Right? Just reverence God. Love God. You know, speak to him as your father. I always think of prayer as an audience with my father. You know, here is my God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, is willing to talk to me and willing to listen to me. That's like, that should be enough, right? Yet he even promises you more than that. But wouldn't that be just enough? That you can have an audience with him anytime you want? Wow, you know. Remember Jesus Christ said, I know you hear me always, Father, and I just want to let him know that, you know, he knew that. Right? So it's a great, great example. But, you know, we learn a lot from that. Look at Proverbs 15. Sorry. Yes, Proverbs 15. Psalms, Proverbs 15. In verse 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. It says he delights in the prayer of the upright. Then in verse 29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Right? God hears the prayer of the righteous. Again, that means a lot more for us in our ministration when Jesus Christ has done all the work required so that we can be righteous before God. Right? But given God's, the very righteousness of God is ours. So you think he hears our prayers? Wow. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And in verse 1 of Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, attend your ways, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord are these. But if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt," so they were doing a few things that probably they shouldn't be doing, "then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations." Because is that the reason that God delivered them, so they can now do these things? Right. "Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes?" Sounds like a quote that's quoted in the New Testament. "Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your father, as I did have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee." Right. Interesting record, isn't it? You think those people there were reverencing him? Right. No. What did we just read in Proverbs? He says, the wicked are far. He doesn't hear. Don't even bother, right? And here he says, you pray to me, you can pray all you want, but I'm not going to hear you, right? You think reverence and prayer has been important throughout time? Yeah, absolutely. Reverencing God is just a wonderful part of prayer. And if you read a lot of the prayers in the Old Testament, like the one that David prayed when he was delivered after Goliath, or the one that Solomon prayed when he dedicated the temple, or all these just great, amazing reverence for God, right? Great love and respect for God. Where these people here, on the other hand, weren't even doing the basics. And God said, don't even bother praying. Right? Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. See, life is pretty simple. You know, we tend to try to keep things simple in life. We do a couple of things in life regularly. We read God's word and we pray. Right? It's not much any more complicated than that. Right? Why do we read God's word? Right? Because our parents said, you must read the word. You know, out of obligation, duty. Do we read it because nothing better to do? Right? Why do we pray? We pray because our parents told us to, or we say, well, you know, it's my last resort, so I might as well try this, right? You know, I don't know. I mean, we all have, you know, you have to consider yourself, you know, take heed unto yourself. Why do I read God's word? Why do I pray? You know, and the answer is very simple. It's so you can know God. Right? Why do you read the word? So you can know your Father. Why do you spend time fellowshipping with him, talking to him, so you can know him, right? And speak and fellowship with him. It's not that complicated, right? So if I feel obligated to pray, I'm not going to pray. If I feel obligated to read the word, you know, I'm not going to do it because it's not going to bless me. But if I go to it wanting to know him, God always blesses you and gives you great understanding, you know, shows you things, right? And prayer, you know, even when Hannah prayed there, what happened after she prayed? She was no longer sad, right? Right? She was really sad, and she poured out her heart to the Lord and spent. Guess what? She wasn't sad anymore. Right? So she got the desired result. The burden was lifted. It was gone. Right? And because who? That doesn't just happen. It's not some mental thing. Right? It's God. God hears your prayers. Right? God is. You can fellowship with Him through God's Word by prayer. And that's what we see in this pattern of life we see in the believers, right? In Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. Right? That's it. There's prayer, and there's ministry of the word. Speaking, you know, reading God's word, studying God's word, and prayer. Right? That's our life. That's our very, very simple walk as a believer. Right? You know, and we're not going to look at it in great detail, but today we have speaking in tongues as a wonderful lever of prayer that we can use all the time, which they didn't even have in the Old Testament, right? In Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. Now, there, when Peter and John went up together into the temple, remember this record where they healed this one, this man that hadn't walked since birth. He was 40 years old plus. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. I mean, they were going to an hour of prayer, time of prayer. That's what they were planning to do. They said, okay, Peter and John, we're going to go there and we're going to pray. Right? It's what you do. It's your life. Right? And on the way, what happened? Right? Were they thinking about the stock market? Right? Going to the hour of prayer? Were they thinking? No, they were tuned in. And guess what happens? This man comes in, they heal him and they, you know, get him walking again, never walked before. See? Prayer, tune with God, fellowship with Him, walking with Him, thinking about God, and knowing who He is, right? And look at Acts chapter 16. No, sorry, 10. Acts 10. Acts 10, there was a certain man, verse 1, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, right? One that feared God. I mean, it's key, same keys you keep seeing, right? Where reverencing God is a great key in prayer. This man was a devout man, not like those people in Judah that Jeremiah was talking to, right? This guy was a devout man, reverenced God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision. So this man, just by the description that God himself gives in the word here, do you think he's a man whose prayers were heard? Right. We'll see. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when I looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Right. Wow. Right. The angel came down to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers and the alms, they've come up as a, God wants to do something about the prayers you've prayed. Right? He's going to do something here for you because of the prayers you've prayed. Right? Not an interesting record. A memorial before God. His prayers came up, a memorial before God. Wow. Look at Acts 16. You know, I often think about this when, you know, when I'm praying. Sometimes, you know, we let our minds be distracted. You know, we pray and our minds get distracted, and you find yourself thinking about the price of popsicles at the corner ice cream store or something. You know, not really, but something like that. You know, I always think. You know, then I always, for me, it's always like, you know, that was really dumb. You know, here you are, you have an audience with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. If that was, I don't know, name your favorite celebrity or favorite prime minister, well, maybe you don't have one, but, you know, your favorite person that you respect sitting there, you know, you would probably not be tempted to stray or be distracted. And then I often think, well, Roger, why do you allow that to happen to yourself when it comes to God, right? you are talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he wants to hear you. He wants to talk to you, and he wants to listen to you. And he wants to give you information. He wants to do this. And you will, you know, you can be flippant about it, right? And that's not the way to be, right? You know, remember the Old Testament, God says, take heed when you enter. You know, when take heed to the vows you vow and the things you say and the things you think about, right? It's a serious matter. Prayer is not just, you know, and yet it's a blessing. It's a great blessing because God loves us so much. He lets us fellowship with him, and he knows we're not perfect, right? But boy, it's a serious matter. You're talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's who you're talking to, and he wants to hear from you, right? So, you know, that's how I always reprove myself on that note. But not in some kind of condemning way where, you know, you get down on yourself. It's just a matter of look who you're talking to. You're talking to God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came unto with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, this is Paul and company, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. They went to a place where people just normally prayed. Right? Part of life. Right. They went, it was just where they went, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, right. Just something, it was a part of their life. They scheduled it in. It was something that they considered important enough. And this is when that woman, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination, met us. And she, you know, rails on them and says so stupid things. And Paul casts out the spirit. Where was he going? To prayer. Was he thinking about God, fellowshipping with God? Was just a part of his life. It wasn't just like, okay, here's my slot. I'll do my thing here, and then I'm going to do this, and then I might get back to godly things later in the day. No, it's a part of your whole life. You know, you walk to the water fountain, you walk to the refrigerator, you walk out, whatever. It's your chance and our chance to be in tune with him all the time, right? That's the way these people live their lives. In Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 10. This is when Jesus healed that man with the withered hand. And looking round about upon them, verse 10, all he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another that what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. All night in prayer to God. This record is an amazing, amazing record. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray for the whole night about something. Right? Why would I ever think that I don't need to pray? Right? You know, if you look at it, relatively speaking, right? The Lord Jesus Christ said he wanted to spend the whole night talking to God about something. Right? That's a good. Landmark for us, or a benchmark for us, as to how important prayer should be to our lives. Right. If Jesus Christ felt he needed to pray about something, there's probably one or two things that come up every day we need to pray about. Luke, Romans chapter 12. A few more verses. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope. This is a whole bunch of listing a bunch of things that believers do or should do. And verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Right? It's not the last thought, it's the first thought. Right? Continuing instant in prayer. Situation comes up, you instantly deal with that with prayer. Not oh yeah, I should try prayer now that I've tried the other five things that I thought about, right? It's continuing instant in prayer. As soon as there's a need, instant in prayer. That's our pattern of love. That's our habit. That's our natural godly solution to things, is to go to God. Say, God, I need help. Getting instant in prayer. In Philippians 4, Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. So nothing and everything. Anxious in nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, be careful for not anxious for anything. So, you know, instead of... We have the option in situations that come up every day or whatever things we get into in life to respond with anxiety. Right? That's our choice. I could choose to respond to my situation with anxiety. Something happens, I say, I'm going to respond with anxiety. I'm going to get all frustrated, worried, nervous. Or I can say, well, I can choose to respond with prayer. And then it says I will be peaceful because God will give me a peace I can't understand. I can certainly feel it. I don't understand it. But I can enjoy it and be blessed by it. My choice. So I can, if I continue instant in prayer in situations of anxiety, I can get peace, or I can choose to just stay anxious. It's my choice. Right? So what's my habit? What's the habit pattern? What happens when something happens that you don't expect or doesn't quite go your way? Right? What do we do? In Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. It's very hard to just pick a few verses on prayer. I mean, it is. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 12. Epaphras, one who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Right? Continuing in prayer, laboring in prayer. It's a part of our lives, right? And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I mentioned we'll talk about speaking in tongues briefly, and you know, here you have it. 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, right? What a great opportunity for us to fellowship with God regularly, consistently, in times of quiet, in times of distress, in times of need, in times of just normal walking around, right? It's fellowship with Him. We read God's Word to know our Father. We speak to Him. We pray to Him to know Him, to know His will for our lives, to determine what is His will for our lives, right? And if we need anything, yeah, you can ask whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ said, you haven't asked me for anything yet. Go ahead, ask whatever you want in my name, you know, within the bounds of, you know, that which is the Word of God provides, right? According to His will. But boy, that's pretty open, right? There's a lot of room there, lots of room. And even then, you can ask for whatever you want, right? There's no record that God would honor certain prayers in the Bible, and believers ask for these things, right? You can. God just may, okay, yeah, here you go. God bless, you know, bless you. Right? You can talk to Him, and it's fellowship. But the thing is, it starts with a great reverence for Him. I can't stress that enough. And the number of records that the Bible, if you read, you see that reverence in prayer. You never see flippant prayers. Look at the prayers of David and Psalms. Boy, they just poured their souls out, their hearts, with great reverence for God. Right? Recognizing, here it is. And you know, in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. He hadn't given this open door of access, right, to God that we have in the New Testament. Right? Does that mean that we should be less reverent in the New Testament, right? Or not? I mean, we have much more to be thankful for, much more available, and many more avenues, more access through the work of Christ, and then this ability to speak in tongues and pray about things we don't even know what's going on, right? I mean, God has wide open the door for us to really enjoy our fellowship with Him, right? Via prayer and via reading God's Word, of course, but via that prayer. So I highly exhort you to develop, you know, a consistent, daily, regular prayer life. You know, not a ritualistic prayer life. And I can't stress that enough either, right? religion is one of the worst things you can get into in your own life, you know, where you don't have a chance to pray, and all of a sudden, you know, you're condemning yourself all day, or whatever, you know, religion does to man. Religion always leads to condemnation, right? The Word of God doesn't, you know. It's like I said, it's very simple. You know, why do we talk to Him, right? You know, why do you speak with Him? What it's up to you to figure out in your life what areas you need to have better understanding in, right? But, you know, a vibrant, blessed prayer life every day is, you know, something that you see the people in the book of Acts do. You know, they had this habit of going to prayer or being in prayer, and you see some of the things that happened around those times, right? When Peter was in jail, what is it? Prayer was made of the church without ceasing for him, right? What happened? You know, this man Cornelius prayed regularly, and this angel said, you know what, your prayer, God took special note of your prayers. Why? I don't know. Ask God, right? While you're asking Him, thank Him for the things, right? So a little bit on prayer and the pattern of life for us to maintain.